Today on Real Life Radio.
Harm, hurt, sin, rebellion, treachery, caused by others, caused by you. What do we do with it? Listen, it's washed away in Christ. Jesus did it, but it takes faith to take you to that place. In Christ, not yourself. You go to Him.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You ever wondered what it would be like to sail around the world? To sail along the California coast or cruise the eastern seaboard down to the Florida Keys? And if a bit of history is what interests you, well, anchor along the war-torn beaches of Normandy in France or reflect upon the ancient shores of Israel and Egypt. Sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? Well, our current featured resource is a masterfully written account of personal travels. It's called Now I See. That's spelled S-E-A. And it's Spiritual Life Lessons by award-winning author Jenny L. Cote.
These are stories and analogies and devotions regarding your walk with God from a sailor's perspective. Storms, rough water, wind, the elements, and the power of God to provide.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea. It's written by Jenny L. Cote, and it's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a Study in 1 Peter, with a message titled The Christian Life, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was one of the 12 disciples, and he later on became the leader of the first church. There were times when Peter failed the Lord, but he learned that through the forgiveness and compassion of Christ, he could find joy even in the midst of failure and the pain that it causes. You see, Peter writes to his people that the Christian life is anchored not in fear, but in hope. Now, the terrorizing fear that the Roman Emperor Nero caused for Christians, it's not that same fear. There's a beautiful, healthy, and appropriate fear that's greater than any earthly intimidation. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that it takes faith to believe that our past that had once ensnared us has been washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. The memories of our mistakes are to be laid at the cross, and by faith, we're to leave them there. Now, with his message called The Christian Life, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Hey, any non-believers in here? Listen up. For the Christian, obedience is liberty and freedom. When we obey God, I'm telling you, there's no drug on earth that can compare to that. It is so fulfilling, it is so exhilarating, and it is so, what's the word? It so brings you back for more. There's nothing like it. And Jesus put it this way, in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Isn't that great? And appointed you. There's the key. Listen, are you a Christian? Raise your hand. Jesus picked you, and when he picked you, he appointed you to a purpose. Listen, every one of us who raised our hands a moment ago should be able to articulate to somebody else what that purpose is. What is it that Christ has appointed you to do? Now that you're saved, now that you're his. He says, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. The purpose of the Christian life. This is meaningful. We have access. God is good. Our hope is anchored to his goodness. Thirdly, under verse 17, is that the Christian life is anchored because the future is all about hope and that hope awaits the outcome. As believers, every day we get closer to heaven, the outcome is better for us. Every day. Every day. I don't understand this, church. I know this theologically. I'm going to give it to you, but I really can't explain it much. Why is it that the moment we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, that moment we become born again, the Bible says, why don't we just drop dead at that moment and go straight to heaven? Why do we have to keep living on in this cesspool of a world? Why put up with cancer, with the world's problems, with relationship issues? Why not just go straight to heaven? Wouldn't that be great? Can't God do that? Of course he can do that. Then why do we have to hang around here? Apparently from the Bible, it's for our benefit. In the end, standing before God, we will actually be able to admit that it was better for us to have stayed in this world to our appointed time. And when we die or we get raptured and go to heaven, in the day of judgment, you and I are going to have the response of Christ to the opportunities that you and I were faithful to in life. Somehow we're going to be rewarded. We don't care about that. I think we will care that day. Right? Because, you know, we're humble. We'll say, oh, I don't need any rewards, Jesus. It's okay. The Bible says that we're going to stand before Christ. And after the day of judgment before Christ at the Bema Seat, and we're rewarded, it appears from the book of Revelation, we will then take those rewards and cast them at his feet and worship. It goes back to him. So all of a sudden, it changes the dynamic, doesn't it? I want to do what I do. I want to have the motivation that pleases God in this life to obey him, because not that I'm going to get a big bucket of rewards on the day of judgment and walk around saying, hey, guys, look at my bucket. Ooh, want to look inside my bucket? Oh, no. We're going to be rewarded, and then we're going to turn right around with the volume of what we were faithful to for Christ and cast it back at him, and it's going to go to his benefit. And you see, all of a sudden, listen, church, all of a sudden, I'm going to want to be faithful, I'm going to want to obey him, and I'm going to want to call upon the Father, and I want to do it in hope, because the future for the believer is anchored in hope. And that day is coming when the outcome is going to be awesome, and it's going to be all about him, not about me, not about you. It's going to be all about him. And that matters to every one of us this morning if you love him. If you love him, you want to bless him. And if you love him, it's because you understand he loves you. And if you love him, it's because he paid such a price to get you and I into heaven. The outcome is amazing. In Matthew 16, verse 24, the Bible says, Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. I'll explain in a moment, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is not talking about killing yourself. He's not talking about anything physical like that. Jesus is saying this. Take your life that you've been given. Stop living it for yourself, because that's a dead end. You're going to live for yourself. You're going to wind up dying in the end, and it'd be disastrous. But take the life that you've been given and invest it into the glory of Jesus. Invest it into what God wants to do. Find out what that is. And Jesus is saying, that's giving up your life. And when you give up your life back to God, it ends well with you. The outcome is fantastic. I think that's simple. Is that simple? Yes. I think so. And he goes on. It's amazing about the outcome. Look what he says. He says that conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay. Now, I thought about this for a moment. Conduct, you know, conduct means manage yourself, make decisions. The word means to think ahead, plan for yourself as a believer throughout the time. Watch how brief Peter puts this, of your stay. What's he talking about? He's talking about our lifetime on earth. He calls it a stay. Now remember, this shouldn't surprise us, because chapter 1, earlier, he talks about us being foreigners and sojourners and pilgrims. So now he says, we just have a little layover. Isn't that funny? The Bible, he's referring to us being here like a little layover. The word stay is the word that means, listen, time it takes for you to pass by. That's what the word means. You're just passing by. Peter says for us as believers, we're passing by. The word means, as I said, sojourner, to be on a trip. It means to overnight somewhere. You're not digging down. It's the difference, I guess, in staying in a motel versus a hotel. How long do you want to stay in a motel? You know, as short as possible, right? This world's a motel. So yeah, but Pastor, I just drove through Brentwood and Bel Air and I saw mansions, motels. I saw a home in, Emerald Bay or wherever that is, Laguna area, 22,000 square foot house. Does anyone need a 22,000 square foot house? And it's worth all these multiple millions of dollars. And it's displayed and you can look and you can see and it's wow, motel. According to God, for the believer, it's an overnight stay for us right here in this world. Is that fun? I like that. It kind of keeps you and I from digging down deep and getting our roots into this world because we're just passing by. We're nomadic, as it were. We're on the move. We're spiritually with those that Peter was talking to 2,000 years ago. And that's a good way to live your life. How long are you going to be here? You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm taking vitamins. I am too. But listen, you're not staying long. Oh, we found the fountain of youth. Motel. Listen, I don't know how long you're going to live. Well, Jack, most of my family have lived to be 100. Motel. You're just passing by. According to eternity, where we're going, 100-year-old life is just but a vapor. We're just passing by on this. Peter is saying, for the brief moment you have in this life, invest it into the things of God. I love that. And then he uses the word fear. You say, yeah, you mentioned that weird word fear. What is this? It is the Greek word phobos. We get phobia from this word fear. It means to be put to flight. It means to run. You run away from something. It means to be in dread of. Listen. It means to dwell or to live or to sojourner with a profound awe of reverence. This is a big difference. This world can scare you. This world can impose some sort of intimidating fear. The Bible says that the fear of man is a what? Snare. Have you noticed how often the world and others will try to manipulate you to do something by fear? They'll say something like, if you don't do this, I'm going to say this. If you don't do that, it's manipulation. It's using fear tactics. But the Bible says that we're to fear God. Are we to be afraid of God? By no means. That's why he says Father to us. But we are to be in reverential awe. It's a very, very serious. I'm not lightening the meaning, but it does mean to have a deep, profound, reverential awe. And church, can I just kind of go off note here for a moment and just say this? I'm not saying you. I'm not saying this church. I'm saying the church in America, if not the church in the world, needs to get back to reverential awe of God. Songs, shirts, stickers, verbiage. It's demeaning, I believe, to the character of God, the way that we put it. Contrary to what you hear, God is not the big dodger in the sky. Everybody knows that. He's not the big dodger in the sky for LA. Okay, the California Angels don't have a little bit closer position with God because of the halo over their hat. Well, you know, God and I are buds. No, you're not. We have verbalized and expressed a low view of God in our conversation. Oh, you know, me and the big man upstairs, we get along. You should never talk about God like that. There should be a deep reverential awe of God. And by the way, there will be on the day that you and I meet him, we will fall on our face in awe of him. The Bible says that we will do that. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. Awe-inspiring. We'll be in this healthy fear. I've told you guys this before, but there's great ways to experience a hint of that. You ever been in a big electrical storm? Mm-hmm. That'd do it to you. When the lightning's going on around you. Have you ever been so close to electrical storm that the hair on your head and on your arm stands up? Well, you're in trouble. It's summertime's coming. You're going to go vacation somewhere where it rains. And you could have a storm. Trust me, if you're out and about and it's stormy and the hair on your arms begin to stand up, or you see your wife or husband's hair go whoop, quickly get flat down on the ground. You are near a lightning strike. That'll put awe in you.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Have you ever stood at the edge without the railing of the Grand Canyon? That'll put awe in you. Have you ever been at sea in a great storm? That'll put awe in you. Awe, the awe of God. When he speaks, the Bible says, it sounds like many waters rushing when he speaks. Can you imagine? Awe. The earth shakes. We have an earthquake. That'll put you in awe if it's big enough. If you're a native Californian, it's got to be 6.0 or above to generate awe. If you're a visitor, just a 1.5 would do it. Someday there's going to be a 20.0 in the presence of God. We'll be in awe. Early church father Polycarp said to the believers in Philippi, and I quote, "Bind up your loose robes and serve as God's slaves in reverential fear and truth." That's a good way of putting it. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's why we don't have wisdom in the church and out of the church today in America. There's no fear of God anymore. We need wisdom. You can't have it without being in awe of God. That verse goes on to say, by the way, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Psalm 34, verse 9 says, "Fear the Lord." This is a good thing. "You, his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing." It's beautiful. Is that not great, huh? Are you guys okay? Yes. All right. Hope awaits the outcome. I'll give you this verse and we'll move on. One of the most precious verses, and you guys know this, we came through this book not all that long ago in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. This kind of outcome genders hope in me and causes a sense of awe. The Bible says, "Be or being confident in the present tense of this very thing." Church, Christian, listen. "That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus." To me, that is awe-inspiring. That God is so powerful, yes, and willing to put up with me, to work on me, to mold me day by day to that person that pleases him. And he's not going to stop until Jesus comes back. To me, causes awe. I love it. Point number two in our study today, you guys, is the Christian life is anchored to verses 18 and 19. And it's because the past is all about your faith. The past. Talked about the future a moment ago and hope. Your future is bound to hope. And listen, your past is all about your faith. So what do you mean by that? What's Peter talking about? Well, first of all, faith is knowing the method. Can you write that down? This is important to us. I guess I should recap quickly. Go ahead and leave that on the screens, you guys. But number one, the future, your future, is bound in hope. And we've been talking lately about hope on Sundays. The believer should never despair of hope, okay? Because you have a future. Because that's true, we consider this, the past. Listen, the past will kill you unless you have hope in the future. Every one of us can attest to that fact. Here's the great thing. Your past is completely dealt with. Church, are you listening? Your past is completely dealt with by faith. And I'm happy to report this morning, it's not this kind of faith. Oh, I have faith that I have put my past behind me. I got a book, 12 Steps to Putting Your Past Behind You, and I grabbed my boots and I pulled them on and I put on my big boy pants, and I've determined to never let my past lead my future. No, you haven't. You just wasted money on a book. The only way, according to the way that you and I are wired, is that our faith in Christ deals with our past. When we look back through the eye of faith in the Word of God, the past no longer dogs us. We're no longer victimized by the past. This is awesome to me. Faith is knowing the method by which God does this. How can your past be washed away? Harm, hurt, sin, rebellion, treachery, caused by others, caused by you. What do we do with it? Listen, it's washed away in Christ. Jesus did it, but it takes faith to take you to that place in Christ, not yourself. You go to him. And here's the method. Are you ready? Get your pen out. Circle this. Knowing. Circle the word knowing. Coming to the grips, grabbing the reality, taking God at his word. This is what I know. The Bible says this, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Say amen to that. The word means, it implies from that Roman world that you were not purchased as a slave with silver and gold. That's how you would buy a slave in those days. How are you purchased now? What's the methodology of you and I being bought out of the slave market? We were redeemed. The whole word redeemed or redemption means that we were brought out of slavery. You say, Pastor, I was never in slavery. The Bible says you were, and I was. To my lust, to my desires, to my temper, to my pet, whatever it is, so were you. We were delivered from that by the power of God. Okay? How does that happen? We take the past, knowing what God's word has said, that we've been redeemed, not by things of this world, but by, as we'll see in a moment, the precious blood of Jesus. So circle the word knowing, because it means this, having something of great importance revealed to you. You know this. Have you read that in the Bible, that Jesus has washed away your sins? Having been told what the truth is or what the answer is about something? Hasn't God given you the answer in the Bible? When Jesus died on the cross, he took away our sins. That's the method. My past is washed away. Watch, it's washed away. I look to what Jesus did by faith at the cross. And that moment of faith in what Christ did at the cross washes away all of that stuff of our lives that today we're ashamed of and embarrassed of. Look, church, there are sins that I committed in my life as a young person before I was a Christian that I am ashamed of and nobody knows. And when it comes to my memory, I'm still ashamed. Even though the Bible says God no longer has any memory of those sins. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you, says the Lord. The Bible says, I will take your sin and I will cast them into the depths of the sea. God says, I won't remember them. Only God can forget our sins. You and I are very keenly aware of what happened to us when we were 16. You have your day. Don't look at me like that. You have your time. You have your place. And I'm ashamed. By faith, I know what the word of God says. I turn around with that shame and I say, wait, Lord, your Bible says that all those who trust you shall not be put to shame. So Lord, I'm going straight to the cross right now with that old memory and I am tapping into the power of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness and I leave it there. God, thank you. Faith deals with my past. Faith in Christ. Many, many Christians need to be freed from that. And can I say this? Many Christians need to stop talking about your past. Stop talking about it. You keep giving it life by talking about it. Get rid of it. By faith, put a nail in it. It was crucified at the cross with Christ. And I'm so grateful. The Bible says, I love this. If you go mention silver and gold on Wall Street or Main Street, you got people's attention. God says, excuse me, I redeemed you forever in my economy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called The Christian Life, Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
You know, the Apostle Peter, in his letters to the church, urged his fellow Christians to keep on learning and growing in the faith, in spite of their suffering and pain. Unlike today, however, resources were scarce, Still, they persevered, and Christ followers were growing in both strength and numbers. Now, there's no limit of ways to access quality materials on Christian living, including Pastor Jack's website. When you go to jackhibbs.com and click the media icon, you'll find not only Real Life Radio episodes, but Real Life podcasts, Real Life TV, Real Life basics for Christian growth, and even news updates. There's also specific verse-by-verse studies from books of the Bible, and so much more. So head on over to our website at jackhibbs.com and click on the media tab. That's jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.